What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea.
He's back. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, guys? Everybody. If you want to check out UT Coin Sponsors.
By the way, Louis Benaventi Fix, check out my other channel. 100% guaranteed.
The Fixed Betting Tipster.
Jesus Christ.
Nah.
Do you know what's really funny? When I'll get a picture, right, of my little brother when he was like 6 months old. Me and my dad used to take the piss because he looked like Ray Winston. So we've got a picture. I'll send it to you and then I'll let you two decide. But my little brother was Ray Winston at one point in his life. So, you know, it makes sense for me to take it on. And I'll gamble responsibly.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I wouldn't say
at LouisBenaventiFix.com. Because Tom looks a little bit, looks like a young Ray Winston.
Tom is... No, it's just, you know, the current thing that's going on outside of the pod that we don't really talk about to do with, you know, you don't want to fill that hard drive with any more pictures of young children. So
I don't know Tom does that.
This is a very long-winded joke at me being a nonce. I think that's what that was.
Yeah, joke.
I deny these rumours strongly.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys? Everybody, I'm in a court case for being a nonce.
Anyway, we're here to talk about
one intro
up the show.
It's just so. I've had an awful day, so this has been a nice little pick me up. So you know, straight away taking the piss out of paedophiles and betting tipsters. But you know, that's what we do here at the Chelsea Echo. But this is your preview of Chelsea versus Newcastle United at Stamford Bridge, with an opportunity to potentially make our way into the Carabao Cup semi-final. One, a chance of silverware, and two, a clear route to Europe. Obviously, usual suspects are here. Tobes is trying to impersonate everybody, but sounding more and more like Matt McGandy every time he does it. And Tom, apparently, is a paedophile, but obviously, he's not. We know that. It's all good. You know, that's what it is. And now, Tobes is a librarian with his blue light glasses. But, gentlemen, let's get straight into it. The League Cup.
Jeffrey Dahmer, I think.
Oh, my God. I can't unsee it now. I can't unsee it.
It was the straight.
I'm just cooking steaks.
Kind of concerning.
It's like, I feel like.
Yeah, sorry.
What's going to happen?
I just found these glasses and I was like, oh, they are kind of Dharma.
Do you know what's going to happen? Whenever we don't watch Tobes' TikToks now, Tom, he's going to get a knife and hold us. Just point at a screen of his TikToks. It's like, watch your TikToks. Watch your TikToks. Full on Dharma. Because I need to get the camera needs to come off you because I'm looking at you and I can't unsee it. I'm going to get the script up so it blocks you completely. There we go. That's better. Anyway, the League Cup.
I'm a nice man.
That's what they all say. The League Cup, the Milk Cup, the Carabao Cup, the Carling Cup, whatever you call it. Tuesday night, Stamford Bridge, Chelsea have the opportunity. Manchester City, Arsenal, Spurs, United, all out. And there's in fact a guarantee there is going to be a non-Premier League side in the semi-finals with Port Vale hosting Middlesbrough as well. So we do have a chance to actually maybe see some silver. So with it being a cup and it being the quarterfinals and the fact that we're Chelsea and, you know, we've won it all, let's have a look back at some of our favourite memories in the competition. So, Tom, I'll come to you first. Let us know.
It's been a while since we did well in this. I'm not going to talk about the last time you got to the final because that was depressing. I'm going to go probably a bit basic, bit mainstream, but Mourinho second stint, Costa final, Spurs win.
It's more importantly,
words
it was
need to be said.
Yeah, it was
JT.
JT, and also the birth of Louis Benaventi on fan cams, because that was the first fan cam I ever did.
There you go. And the world has never been the same since. I'm not sure if it's for the better or the worse, but I'll let the fans decide.
Well, you know, we've all grown
Now we have vaccines, it, you know, makes you think.
The butterfly effect. The Benaventi butterfly effect.
Fan cam, COVID, done. Oh dear, but yeah, no, that's it. That's probably a good memory. I mean, there's been other ones as well.
Well, the first under Abramovich, first trophy, Kesman,
Kesman,
Drogba, yeah. Gerrard own goal when he was going to join us.
But are you, is you feeling?
Yeah,
the
I think my favorite.
I do not feel the pressure.
Yeah, exactly. He got sent off with a shh, yeah, giving it a shush to those. Oh, lovely, beautiful stuff. Beautiful. That's what dreams are made of. But yeah, I really enjoyed also. I mean, John Terry featured quite heavily in this, but actually more for being booted in the face by Diaby. That final where Drogba scored two, turned the game on its head, as he always did against Arsenal, always bullying them. And there's a couple of red cards at the end. It was prime Barclays, or more prime Carling. The Carling Cup. That's the cup I grew up with. None of this Capital One, none of this Carabao. Not even if, Worthington, because I was a little bit older than that. A little bit younger than that, rather. But yeah, the Carling Cup. That's my cup.
That was if the last final to be held at the Millennium Stadium as well. Fun fact.
Was it?
Yeah.
Stat Shagger, yeah. Masters in disguise.
He's on for that.
We're not there yet. I mean, look, there has been a hell of a lot of moments. And I think, you know, it is always a good stepping stone competition. So hopefully we can do something. We can do the business in this game. Obviously, there's been some news that's come out today as well. We're recording this on Monday night where Lewis Hall will be allowed to play. But it's going to be interesting. But now, it's not been that long since we played Newcastle. Very disappointing 4-1 loss, and obviously that was at St James's Park. But their away form has been lacking, and they're absolutely done in by injuries. So more than ever, there is something for us to maybe get out there and maybe seize the opportunity, isn't there, gents?
Yeah, I'm not saying the same thing I said before, because I said it before United and I said it before Newcastle, and neither of those games went well. So I'm not going to say it again, but yes, there's a lot on the line. Newcastle's away form is terrible. They have a lot of injuries. So, yeah, we should beat them, really. But that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying anything else because I've jinxed us in the past.
Go on, Tobes. You got very excited. Yeah,
I was very excited. And the reason I'm so excited is because we know so much about Newcastle's injuries, don't we? I mean, you can't... I opened my window earlier and I could hear Sky Sports just bellowing out, talking about Newcastle's injuries and how many injuries they've got. They can't go 3 minutes without mentioning it. Newcastle have 11 injuries going into our game. That's a lot of injuries. We have 12. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind 11. 11 sounds nice. I know, like I said, the media like to shove that one down you. They don't really talk about ours, but, you know, we're kind of used to that. So, yeah, I just want to beat them because I think it's our best route into Europe. I would like to win a cup. We always talk about the magic of the cup. That phrase is usually coined more towards the FA Cup. But as Louis said, there are some smaller teams, some lower league teams in the Carabao Cup, and I'd like to crush their dreams. I'd like to get to the semi final and play Port Vale, and they've had their day out, and then they can fuck off home. I would like to, you know, stamp some authority, and let people know that yeah, okay, Bolier has been bad, but there's the first one. There's number one. That's first trophy on the board, and it was the first trophy of the Abramovich era. So there's no shame in that. We need a bit of respite. I need a trophy to feel some normality.
Absolutely.
I need Chelsea, you know, crushing some teams for it.
Absolutely. I think it would be... This is probably our best opportunity to win something this season. So I'll have to see. But before we get into the Echo 11, there is some statistics and there is some injury news. So we'll hand you over to our resident stat shagger, Thomas Masters. Stat Shaggers, football with no eyes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a segment we have all been waiting for.
Stat Shaggers, football with no eyes.
It's going to keep doing that, I think. I've got my glasses on because I take this very seriously and it makes me look more intelligent.
Why do you take it seriously?
Stat Shaggers.
Stat Shaggers, football with no eyes.
He likes it. Anyway, yeah, Newcastle have a lot of injuries. I'm not going to go through Chelsea's injuries because we've done them to death. But Newcastle, according to PremierInjuries.com, that reputable website, Nick Pope, obviously he's out, dislocated shoulder. Jacob Murphy, also dislocated shoulder. Harvey Barnes, ankle problem. Joe Willock.
Harvey Barnes.
Had several issues, but I've gone with calf because that was the, I don't know, different. He's out. Elliot Anderson with a lower stress fracture in his lower back. Fabian Scher, one of their late casualties. He's a maybe, but the website said he was out, but I heard Mr. Howe say he's a maybe. Javier Manquillo, didn't even realise he was still there. He's out with a groin injury. Joe Linton is another maybe. It would be good if he wasn't there because he was quite good against us. With a hamstring issue, Matt Target out with a hamstring injury. Kieran Trippier and Alexander Isak are both doubts, apparently. And, of course, Sandro Tonali is suspended for using Louis' website. We've played them onto the stats. We played Newcastle.
Stats shaggers. Football
times.
With no eyes. Sorry, carry on.
Sorry. I quite enjoy it the first four times. And then, you know. Anyway, we played them five times in the League Cup. That's it. We've won four, and we've only lost once, which was the last time we played them in the League Cup. A 4-3 loss in the third round.
Carlo.
In 2010, when Shola Amiobi scored a 90th minute winner.
Shola Amiobi.
For the Toon. And it's a bit of a shorter section, as I didn't go through every single time we played Newcastle, as I kind of did that in the Premier League not that long ago. We're into it. Quarter-final footy, a few days before Christmas. This is a great opportunity to get back to what the Chelsea do best and win a footing trophy.
That'd be great, like. You're doing great, as Tobes does whenever he tries to do a Geordie accent.
You're doing great, yeah.
You're doing great.
We've got Stat Shagger, and we also have Corp Shagger in Jeffrey Dahmer on the pod, of course. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to murdering Newcastle and feasting on the remains of the Bush Tucker trial that is Newcastle in the Carabao Cup. That was like the most professional Jeffrey Dahmer podcast appearance of all time, I think.
Louis gone.
Yeah, I think Corp Shagger did it for him.
Oh!
That's what they said before they were a corpse.
I'm going on mute. I'm going to die.
Okay, so I'll take over as Louis's gone for the next 5 minutes.
Okay, well, so the way you have to do it, mate, you have to go, hey, what's going on, everybody? It's everybody.
Do we do that mid-section? I guess we it's do. Turning into, what's going on, guys?
It's turning into shooting. It's like Shooting Stars when they're the drunk karaoke singer.
Well, what's going on, guys? We're back in to our... So let's just pretend we had an advert before, which was Louis' laugh. We've already... Tobes, we've discussed this a little bit. But how much does the League Cup mean this year for us? Obviously no Champions League this year, and also looks very likely we won't have it next year. Probably no Europe by our league place, although let's not rule that out yet. And it's so difficult to win a trophy now anyway in the modern day with so many good teams. Is this something that we, you know, fully go in for now?
Yeah, I'm all in. I'd like to see them lift some silverware. I think it's good for these players to remember these are the days out you live for, and as fans, you know, these are the... Even if you're a minnow such as... I forgot if it's Port Vale who were playing Borough. Whoever's playing Borough, right? These are the days out you want, because what if you could win something? And we became so normalised to it being such a successful team, but we'll never lose that feeling, and the feeling of winning is unmatched. People can talk about their projects where they came really close and then they bottled it in April and they're really proud of them. Like, that's all well and good. We know the feeling of winning. It's something that we became very familiar with. It's something that we're lacking. It's something that we've lost. And we need to find it again. It's on our identity. You need to build on it. And these players will have that in their heads, that feeling of winning something. It's unmatched. You want more. You know, it has to become an addiction. Players like Lampard, Drogba, that core at Chelsea, they're addicted to winning. They didn't care what system they had to play in and whether, you know, a project player. That it was, you know, step up or get out. Go. We need to win. That's what we need to do. This is Chelsea. And it's not been that. It's not felt like Chelsea for a while, but this would be a feeling of that. And this is something that can perhaps kind of bond that core, that youth core at Chelsea, into realising, let's hold ourselves to higher standards here. Winning is what it's about. I think this is just a Carabao Cup feeling. What would winning X, Y and Z mean? That's what I want. So, yeah, it's important for us. For European aspirations too, like you touched on, I don't think we will be attaining any European places in the league, bar some Thursday ball sort of stuff at best. So if you can get it via winning a cup, you do that.
When was the last time when we won the Club World Cup? That was in 2023, right? It was 20. Well, it's December 22.
It was end of February / beginning of March 2022, because it was literally a week before Roma got booted out.
Right. I was going to say that if we go and win it, that could be another year with a trophy, but that was in 2022. So ignore me. So we can end our barren
spell. That feels
spell
decades ago,
one
though.
Year.
It does.
One
it
year
feels
without
horrible
a trophy. Let's end it.
That's a lifetime ago. Roman and Tuchel there, and Rudiger there. You know what I mean? A lot has happened in that time. Like a real...
Yeah. I came back to Tobes giving like a really like any given Sunday motivational team talk. Like, I was fully erect to listening to that. Like that was like, I want to get right behind it. Like that was the whole. He's right though. Like this is the opportunity to win, and I don't think we're going to get a better opportunity this year. I think the FA Cup. Look, I think this year, I still think City might win the league, but if they don't and they do fall away by February, March, which they might do, given their current form, they'll be licking their wounds, and you're probably going to see the FA Cup head back up to Manchester. This is our best opportunity to win a trophy this year, without a shadow of a doubt. I do think that there's a real chance for us to go on and kick on. But hopefully, like you said, if we do get to the final though still and we lose it, I'm not going to talk about the project and be like, oh, well, we're really proud of them getting this far. I'm hoping they're going to look at it the same way Tobes is and be going, no, do you know what we got here? We actually want to be winning this. We don't want to be looking at this as progress. But this is Chelsea Football Club. This is where we should be going. But, baby steps in it, I think, is the way to look at it. We'll have to look, I think, one game at a time, and this is a real opportunity to do so, I think.
I think as well, we don't want to get... I know we've kind of, to some degree, shat on Newcastle. Like, their away form recently hasn't been very good. They have got a lot of injuries. They got even more against Fulham at the weekend. But they're still pretty good, and there's no guarantee we beat them at all. And then there's still Liverpool in there. Like, I think West Ham. I think they're playing West Ham.
Would have earned it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as in, let's beat.
Yeah, if we knocked out. Yeah, sorry. No, of course. We've got to beat what's in front of us.
Who, by the way, beat Man City and Man United to get here? So.
But to be, if you sat there on a CV, it's not like last year where United only played a team when they played Newcastle. Really, other than that, it was like league below. We'd have knocked out Brighton, Newcastle, and Liverpool on course if we were to win this cup. They'd have earned that cup. And we've spoke about how annoying some of their little Insta posts with training pics are. Go earn your Insta posts. Go post pictures of the trophies. We'll welcome those. Slap them all over my feed. I couldn't care less. You can post that for a week. Go for it. I don't want to see training pics after losing to Everton. We'll go again after you said we'll go again the week before. Like, this is the time to earn your posts, lads. So yeah, this cup has brought a lot more meaning this season with how things have gone.
I think it's changed anyway in the era of with City and Liverpool. They were kind of the first, like, that's so good, and now you look at that league and there are a lot of teams in there that are very, like, look at Villa flying, and you're like, winning a trophy in England now is very big. Like the Carabao Cup, yes, it's not recognised by UEFA as like one of the biggest trophies. Obviously, that's why it only gets you a Europa Conference League qualifying place if you win it, but it's still a trophy, and winning a trophy in England is not to be sniffed at. And I would absolutely love to be back at Wembley, and I'd love it if we played Liverpool, and I'd love it if we beat them on pens. That would be very nice.
It would be, and it's a nice little commute for me as well. So keep it easy, keep it simple. So let's get to Wembley. Let's get to do the business, get it done. But to do the business, we have to play Newcastle first. And to play Newcastle, we need an 11. So it's time for the Chelsea Echo 11. Gentlemen. Let's get straight into it.
Sponsored by Louis Benaventi's match-fixing thing.
I actually would be very tempted to see if I can find out who's running that. Because I'd actually love to see betting tips.
Robbie Blood!
Imagine! Money's a bit tight, is it, mate? Oh, dear. Anyway, let's get into the 11, shall we? Petrovic and goal, I think, is a fairly obvious one.
Yeah, I didn't learn anything new from Petridic. Like, when he played against Sheffield United, I thought, I didn't see you do anything, so I don't really know if it were any good.
To be fair, he made one very good save. One very good save. But when I say one very good save...
It was a free kick.
It was a bit of a Hollywood save, wasn't it? It was like, sticking the arms out, like, really going for it. It was like he was in goal two. Because I watched goal one the other day.
Yeah, I hope he has chilled afternoons.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Petridic and goal. And he's going to be watching his back line, which is going to be what, gentlemen? Tom, you go first. Give me the left back.
It has to be Cole because there's no one else.
Unless you want to play Mattson in his actual position.
Unless
Mattson
plays, but I don't think they like Mattson. So I'm going to say it'll be Cole Wilt, and I'm going to say it will be... Oh, do they play Thiago Silva in this? Do they give him... Surely he can't be playing three games a week. So I guess which game
would
you prioritise him? And I think I'd play him in this as well. And I would play him with Badiashil, I think. And then I would play Malo Gusto if he's fit enough to play a full 90. If not, then then old Axel's going to have to chip in, and I assume Newcastle will go full send as well and bring down, you know, Gordon, who's very good at home but hasn't been great away from home this season, so hopefully we can shut him up. So yeah, I guess it's injury dependent on Gusto, who we play at the back.
We happy with that? Agreed. Back line? Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That's mine, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, so that's the Chelsea Echo backline, sponsored by Leo Benevente Fix. You know, get all your best 100% match day odds here at Leo Benevente Fixed on Facebook.
Gamble responsibly.
And I'll gamble responsibly at LouisBeneventiFix.com. Anyway, midfield. I guess it's pretty self-explanatory again, is it not? You know, Conor Gallagher, Moises Caicedo and Enzo.
Yeah, and a fresh Enzo.
Yeah.
Or so who drops out?
I mean, probably Mudryk.
Mikhailo. Yeah, probably Mikhailo.
I think he's looked better recently, but again, I just think I could feel like in the stands, like people were getting a bit exasperated with him, and I think he's a young lad again. He just needs to have that easy process.
I actually think it's quite harsh. Yeah, I thought first half he was our best attacker, and I even thought Everton he was the only one who really turned up. But yeah, it's a weird one with him, because even some of the like little things he does, you can see that someone that can make something out of nothing. Yeah, it really epitomised him, didn't it? That clip the other day, gets a lovely nutmeg, decides to shoot from 45 yards. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, if anyone drops out for Enzo, I'd probably agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having him fresh as well, to be fair, for that game at Wolves, because that's going to be a very tough game.
Wolves,
but
yeah,
as somebody who's been a manager on the touchline at Molineux, I can tell you that it is a very, very, very big pitch. So, you know, to have someone
you
like
wouldn't
that,
start Christopher.
No.
No big Chris or small Chris.
I mean, to be fair,
we're going to have to build up his minutes.
Pochettino.
He needs to have some game time.
Yeah, I mean, Pochettino did say he's not going to play him until he's 100% fit. Like he's literally said he's until there's no niggles at all, like nothing, he ain't playing. So realistically, I don't think we're going to see him. No game time.
No. Yeah, he was on the bench though. Yeah, I didn't think you clocked what I said.
I thought it as well. I thought it, but I was like, I'm not. Let's let that one just go. Oh.
Yeah. Tom's more mature than me, and I just little joke.
When Christopher Nkunku comes on the 69th minute, everyone's gonna be saying, "Brilliant, Nkunku's gonna be on." You're gonna be going 69, but he's great. He's on the pitch. That is you, isn't it? I can just feel it already because I'm exactly the same.
Who knows?
No.
yeah, I don't know. I just thought, because he was on the bench at the weekend, and it looked like at one point he was kind of been told to ready up when it was 0-0.
Yeah, he was.
So Poch can say, oh, wait till he's 100% fit. When it was 0-0 and he was worrying a bit, he was looking at Nkunku for minutes. He was looking at Nkunku for goals. So we're going to have to build him up somehow. I want to see some minutes.
I think 20 minutes.
Not starting, but
here and there.
But,
you know. I would like to see him play, obviously, because I think he can. Well, we're all kind of hoping he's like the magic piece of the puzzle that suddenly it all just
Lionel works. Messi crossed with Ronaldo all in one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the Chelsea fan base have built him up. On Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, but when Nkunku's back, you're like, guys, stop, please.
He's never played.
He's just
going
to come on
League.
And be a normal man, and he's going to get slated for it. Yeah.
When and one wayward pass goes, months. Oh God, yeah. Well, we'll see. Did you see?
We signed him at 24 and he's 26.
That's the thing about that. It's like, a couple of weeks ago, it was like a year since we, like Fabrizio did the
it was
here we
yesterday,
go.
Wasn't it? It was yesterday.
I think it might, yeah. And then someone put a thing out going, highlight of Nkunku's best minutes for Chelsea. End of thread.
Oh, it was jaunty. So he's been brilliant on Twitter recently.
Ah, that got me. That did get me. But yeah, yeah, I mean, we'll hope for. I don't think he's ready to start, but I'm not there every day. So I don't know if he's ready, then I welcome it. But I also don't want him to keep getting injured because he could be great, and he's exciting, and might as well make sure we have him for the rest of the year rather than bring him back for a game and then have another Reece James.
Yeah. Well, so actually, speaking of, we haven't actually touched on Reece James at all. Obviously, the stuff came out today with Pochettino where he was saying about how he doesn't know what's going on with Reece, basically, and about Reece's surgery and all of that. Yeah, no, it's a bit worrying. I mean, he's said a couple of things over the past 24 hours which have left me a little bit worried. That was the first one. And obviously this next one brings Scott Stubbs nicely into midfield, where obviously there's the news that came out today. Obviously we're talking about Conor Gallagher being straight in this 11 for us, no questions asked whatsoever. And the news that he's going to be put up for sale probably, or he's going to be available for 50 million in January. And then Pochettino goes, look, it's, you know, it's nothing to do with me if we sell him. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Is that not very, 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 very extremely worrying that we're hearing stuff like that coming out of Stamford Bridge at the minute?
Yes and no. Yes, it's worrying that the board and the manager aren't maybe on the same page or aren't talking
not
to
aligned.
Each other. But at the same time, if you give me 50 million for Conor Gallagher, even now, I'm definitely taking that.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. I like Conor for what he stands for. I think he's a good player to have in and around the squad. And I do think he's had a good season this season. But I do think he's also excelled partly based on what Potch has wanted to build in terms of a pressing team that's actually negated some of the qualities that some of the other players and big signings have. I don't think it really plays to their strengths, but it definitely plays to Conor's, and that's why you're seeing a better Conor on the pitch. And credit to him for that. I like his work ethic. But I also don't think if you want to get Chelsea back to where they are, Conor Gallagher gets near a Chelsea first team, personally. I think he gets near this Chelsea first team, where we're 12th in the league, sure. A bit like when Willian looked like Ronaldinho when we came 10th. It's one of those ones where, you know, even at the time we were all aware that Willian was great for that season, but a lot of the other years where we were title winning, etc., we were moaning about Willian some of the time and wanting an upgrade on that. That's how I kind of see Conor, where he can be a good squad player. It'd be a shame if they sold him, but they've spent so much, they're going to be looking for sales. It doesn't surprise me. They're looking for some homegrown profit. With 50-60 million for Conor Gallagher,
yeah,
is a lot.
That's a lot of money. I know he's had a good, 3-4 months since the start of the season or whatever, but in the summer we were saying he's a sell. He's been good, yes, but if we would have sold him for 30 million in the summer happily. I think his performances have added some value to him, and I don't necessarily know how much more than from what we've seen is his ceiling. And so I kind of agree with Tobes there. If we want to really build and, you know, try and catch up with City, Liverpool, etc., is Conor Gallagher a starter? Probably not. I don't know, this might sound really harsh, but that's my opinion. And if you're not starting a player and he's worth that much money and you spent that much and we've got holes to fill and you get an offer, I think you take it.
But then
my issue is the timing. I can see why anyone would have a problem with it as well. And there's a degree of me that does find it a problem, because I'm like, well, right now he's one of the better players that's playing. He's not an issue. He's been good at points, but he's not someone I'd want starting going forward, if that makes sense, because I want us to go forward, not stay where we are. But at the same time, is Lavia going to come in and suddenly be fit for the rest of the season? And then you look at it as like, oh, okay, yeah, well, Conor wouldn't get in anyway. Like, I don't know, because there are players that play in similar positions or even in Nkunku in the squad, where would Conor even start when these players are available? We don't know, because we haven't seen it. So yeah, it's a weird one.
My issue is that if you're selling him, you're selling him to the clubs that are interested with Tottenham and Newcastle, and those are teams which are directly competing with us.
That's a problem, yeah.
That's the issue for me.
I do agree with that. I would also say, in terms of our sales in summer, we were saying the same about Mount, Havertz, Kovacic. And Havertz has been the better of those three. I still think they could have got a better player than Havertz in terms of what they want from him. But yeah, we're looking at those as if we've had their pants down. Like, could it not be a case that this is the same too?
Possibly. But yeah, possibly.
I do think, though, right now, just the way, I think Spurs especially, if he went to Tottenham, I mean...
Oh, no, I agree. In terms of, it defines, or it consolidates, rather, our issue with this ownership in terms of they're not us, and they don't feel like us, and they don't understand us. So selling to Tottenham is, like, Roman never even considered it. It wasn't a possibility. He'll try and take Luka Modric, but he wasn't selling there. And these lot don't do like they don't do that.
But it's not. That's
and
not,
having
that's
watched Mount, having watched Mount leave the club, I feel kind of like, yeah, well, they'll sell anyone, these lot.
Yeah, but then for me, it's like that's him going to Spurs isn't the issue there. You know, I get that from the business side. You know, I do. Mine is that based on how he's played this season, you know, he is a significant boost to that squad for Spurs.
Do you think?
Yeah,
Spurs play good football on the floor. very technical players. I think Conor Gallagher would be chasing his touch at times. I don't think Conor Gallagher would suit Spurs' football whatsoever. He'd suit Newcastle's a bit more because they run around and kick.
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves. We enjoy watching Gallagher for his energy and everything, but he'll get silly red cards like he did against Brighton. Even against Sheffield, there was one bit where he did like a turn and it went about 5 yards away from him. Like, I like Conor and I like the effort he brings, but I'm not going to pretend he's something he's not in terms of really technically sound and secure on the ball, which is what a lot of big Ange ball is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at him as like someone where it's like, for them, he would be someone they'd bring on 60, 70th minute. Like we were saying.
That's what he should be for us. I agree. Yeah, I do agree with that. Like, yeah.
So why... What will happen is we'll sell him for 50, 60 million, but then we'll go buy somebody to play that role within the squad, which is why I'm there a bit like,
I understand when
having someone like that just around, you know, in terms of like, if you look at the four corner model, you know, the psychological, the social stuff is massive for Conor Gallagher. You know, he's someone who really, like Frank was talking about, how he brings everyone up in the squad, he sets examples, he's someone who understands the psychology of the club, who understands what we are, you know, he's someone where he's what James Milner should have been towards the back end of Liverpool almost.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
just having that player about would be so important. But we'll move swiftly on, obviously. We'll just rattle through the front three. You know, because we said that Mudryk's probably going to be dropping out. We're looking at what? Nico Jackson, then we're looking at Sterling, and we're looking at Cole Palmer.
Yeah, I'd agree. I do think it's interesting, though, just in terms of that, just to touch more on that Gallagher thing, because I think people at home will also be thinking the same in terms of it does... We kind of skidded over the fact that it doesn't shows how Poch and board are not aligned. What does that indicate to you guys? Does that indicate the fact that they don't see Poch being there long term? Like, he's not their guy long term, really? Because that's quite a statement to be saying, right, that's the guy you keep giving the captaincy to. That's the guy you want to play every week. We think we're going to sell him. Like, that's quite a big statement to be making, I think, anyway. No, or how would Poch interpret it?
I don't think.
How secure would you feel with your job?
I don't think it's necessarily that, though. Because I don't think they really know what they're doing in terms of the actual football themselves. They're seeing
agreed, 50 million,
60 million, going, oh, yeah, let's get rid of him. Because that's 50, 60 million of pure profit, obviously. So that's what they're thinking. And I can kind of partly see it in a way, but I think you've got to liaise with Poch and see, you know, what the manager thinks of this player who, as you've said, keeps making captain or vice captain or whatever, clearly an important member of the squad, one of our better players, and you know, you can't just sell him without talking. We've been there before and it wasn't great when, you know, we kept signing these random players that no one really wanted. So I would hope we would have moved on and they would have learnt something, but guess not.
Well, we'll have to see. But we'll move swiftly on. We don't actually have that much time left because we still aren't paying for Zoom. So if we get a sponsor at some point, that would really help us in terms of extending these podcasts for you guys. But let's just jump straight into it. Obviously, Wembley potentially on the cards. Key battles, we said a couple of weeks ago, you're probably looking at the midfield. Definitely looking at fullback with De Zassi versus Gordon, as Tom touched on already. But gentlemen, if we were to beat them and go all the way, does this give Pochettino a free pass for the rest of the season? And especially considering we will have some sort of Europe, albeit a Conference League playoff place.
Yeah, if he wins a cup, he would get to the end of the season at least.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't want to finish 14th or even...
No, if he came 17th and won a cup, I'd want him gone at the end of the season, if I'm honest, yeah.
I mean, we're not West Ham here like last year, but yeah... Yeah, I think it would take pressure off as well because you've got the cup. There'll be feel good vibes both in the squad and in the fans. Like, oh, like we're still like something.
I'd like to think it built momentum, wouldn't it? And it would have built some league momentum.
But you know, sometimes you can do well in other comps and not the league. But yeah, I think if you say you won that and you finished in, you know, eighth, I think that would be accepted. I'd hope it would be accepted anyway. But I don't know, with this board, they do what they want.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. Obviously, guys, we will leave you our voice note reviews after the game. We actually will be in the press box as well, so you'll get some of Pochettino's comments post-game as well through the Chelsea Echo, which will be absolutely fan-dabby-dozy in some cases. But that has been your preview of Chelsea hosting Newcastle United in the League Cup. Call it what you want, Carabao, Carling. To us, it's always going to be the Carling. But make sure you follow us on all of our socials and engage with Echo. Tell your friends and family as well. And obviously, tune in for the review. But this has been a Highway 61 Network production. I've been Louis, that's been Tom, that's been Tobes. This has been the Chelsea Echo, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.